there's a lot of people that reach out to us, but we always tell them that they have to kind of peel the layers of the onion back. And at the end of the day, the best way to build know, like, and trust is the person who is at the helm of that ship. And then it just makes it that much easier to bridge between who you are and how you serve people, whether it's a product, a service, an offering, a course, a program, a product, whatever it is. Richard Branson owns many, many companies. Virgin, and there's like 18 divisions of it. But he has his own individual presence on LinkedIn where he's sharing information. Watch what the experts are doing, because that is a clue that if they're doing it, maybe you should too. The whole day and age, I think, Jonathan, of people saying, I don't have enough content, I don't know what to post, that's gone. Like, there is 100%. So much abundance out there. Whatever AI you decide to use the right way,
yes.
Not only are you never going to run out of content, you're never going to run out of ideas, but now you have that virtual help that where people used to get so stuck and paralyzed in their business that they would stop their action. And now there's no excuse for it anymore. It's either you use it or you're going to lose it.
Hi, and welcome to the 91 Day AI Transformation Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Mast, and today I have with me Scott Aaron. And Scott and I are going to be chatting about a lot of different things today. Scott, thanks for taking the time to join us. Before we dive in, though, if people maybe not as familiar with you, would you give us kind of the elevator pitch of who Scott is and who you serve?
Yeah, we'll appreciate the opportunity, Jonathan. So my name is Scott Aaron. Currently, my wife and I run three different businesses. So we're in the online space. We serve coaches, consultants, service professionals such as lawyers, accountants, insurance brokers, financial professionals, and we help people in a couple different phases of business. We run a content repurposing agency called BYOB Agency. My wife runs that with our team. I run a LinkedIn marketing, sales, and growth agency. It's my coaching and consulting aspect of our business. So if anyone's looking to leverage LinkedIn to really put their marketing and sales processes in place, that is what I help people do. And together, we have a company called The Time to Grow, where we help those people become the experts in their space, whether it's through our Expert Content Society, which is our private community about LinkedIn content and how to leverage it, or our Expert Foundations program, which is basically that person that's been having that itch of wanting to start a business but just doesn't know where to get started. It's a self-paced six-month program that basically teaches you A to Z what needs to be done. But for that person that's looking to grow and scale from six to multiple six figures, multiple six to seven figures, we have a group coaching program called the Expert Authority Mastermind, where we teach people how to grow and scale what they have, because that's what we've done, and it's only fair if we share our secrets with everybody else.
No, I love that, and I want to dig in a little bit to that Expert Authority Mastermind. One of the things that's near and dear to my heart is building personal brands and the importance that that has for businesses, even outside. And I think as we go into 2025, even more importantly than it has been, personal brands of the key figures in an organization are going to be so much more important, because we really identify with people, not with brands. What are your thoughts on that, Scott?
You hit it right on the head. There's a lot of people that reach out to us, you know, because again, we work with large financial firms, we work with large insurance brokers, even individuals who own, you know, large companies, but we always tell them that they have to kind of peel the layers of the onion back. And at the end of the day, the best way to build know, like, and trust is the person who is at the helm of that ship, right? The face of the business.
Thank you.
You're the one that needs to be putting yourself out there so people get to know you, they get to like you, they get to trust you. And then it just makes it that much easier to bridge between who you are and how you serve people, whether it's a product, a service, an offering, a course, a program, a product, whatever it is. It's going to make it that much easier to bridge the two, because they know you, they know and like and trust you. So now they're going to be more interested in what you have to offer, which is the business and the brand outside of that. So we always tell people, lead with yourself. That is, and again, don't hide behind the business. Don't hide behind the logo, right?
Thank you.
Put yourself out there. You know, again, the fear of judgment, all those things come into play. But what Nancy and I have really experienced, not just for ourselves in running three businesses, but helping other people now, when that person steps forward and says, you know what, here I am, this is my business, I'm running it, I'm the owner, I'm the person, it really positions them a much different way. It positions them as the subject matter expert. So it's, think about this. Richard Branson owns many, many companies. Virgin, and there's like 18 divisions of it.
Sure.
But he has his own individual presence on LinkedIn where he's sharing information. Gary Vaynerchuk, same thing. VaynerMedia is the company.
Exactly.
But Gary V is showing up every single day. So watch what the experts are doing, because that is a clue that if they're doing it, maybe you should too.
I could not agree more with you and everything you just described. Part of the reason I was so excited to chat with you is it really mimics what I've done in the last 2 years. You know, I always kid people, in August of 2023, nobody knew Jonathan as an AI guy at all. And now I'm blessed to be on stages. I'm blessed to be traveling internationally and getting paid to do it. You know, I just got invited to speak at an exclusive event in Costa Rica. I had never been there, so that's cool. And I'm getting paid to go there. And we've got almost 500,000 people that we're talking to on a weekly basis about AI. And it's all because, again, we followed the same things you're talking about, Scott, and we built that brand. Yes, my company is a company, but nobody cares about the company. They want to connect with the individual. Even if that doesn't mean they're working with me on a day-to-day basis, they still want to do that. You mentioned Gary Vaynerchuk. I think he's the best example. Gary's got multiple companies that do different things, and you're not likely working with Gary on a day-to-day basis unless you're at that top echelon. But he's still what drives the business into VaynerMedia and into all those other companies.
Well, think about it. Your company wouldn't exist without Jonathan Mast.
True.
So it just makes sense that Jonathan Mast needs to be the visual and vocal representation of the company that he's created. And I think a lot of people need to hear that over and over and over again. You know, Jonathan and I want to applaud you for having a company, creating a company. But again, peel back the layers. That company would not exist without you. You remove yourself, you disappear from it. So does the company.
Talk to me about this, because this is something I struggled with for years, and I've got my thoughts, but I'd love to hear yours, Scott. When I was younger, I thought, you know, I want to build a company that I can sell and I can move on. And if I become the brand, it's going to be a lot harder to do that. I can tell you I have different thoughts on that today, but how do you address that concern from that CEO or that founder who goes, yeah, that's great, but, you know, I want to do an exit down the road, and if I'm the brand, how do I do that?
So I've sold two businesses. I started in the brick and mortar business. My family had three health clubs. So I owned and operated three gyms, and we scaled two and sold, closed the third. But I remember, it's interesting you brought that up, because now that I think about it, the way that I was able to grow the gym from 250 members to 1,200 members in a two-year span is because I implemented, yes, systems and processes and procedures, and I'm dating myself. This is the late 90s, early 2000s.
I was there. I get it.
this is pre-Planet Fitness. This is pre-social media. This was like literally stuffing people's mailboxes. This is mailer, you know, postcard advertising. This is back in the day. But what I'll tell you is that when we were approached to sell the gym, another family approached us to buy two of the gyms. I realized that there was a reason why they wanted to buy the gyms. Well, number one, the books looked really good, because they were. It was a very, very profitable, both locations, even though the one was just a year old. Like, we grew up to profitability very quickly. But what I realized, and I think my fear was, would they be able to duplicate the energy and what we specifically brought to the gym? Because, you know, the gyms were, we were in downtown Philadelphia. You know, Jonathan, all full transparency, they were in old warehouses. They were not the nicest of gyms. They were mom and pop, you know, dust bunnies each day had to be vacuumed. Like it was that kind of gym, but people, it was the cheers of gyms, you know, everybody knew our names. You know, my mom would trade recipes with the members. Like it was very homey. People felt comfortable. And I think the fear that I think we all had, myself, my dad, my mom, was, you know, it's the right number, we should sell. You know, that I don't think that was the intention, but when you're shown a number with a lot of zeros in front of it, right?
Yep.
You start to think about, okay, this could enable us to get to the next step. But then you start thinking about, you know, will the gym or will this business continue the way that it did, the way that we run it? And, you know, I couldn't let that fear or those thoughts dictate the decision because it was the right decision. Now, the members had an opposing feel because they were so, and I think this is the big thing, Jonathan, they were so emotionally connected to us. Yes, we were emotionally connected to them, but we had a life to build. We had a life to live.
Yep.
And we had to just trust our guts and just, you know, when the transition period came where we stayed on to manage the operations and help them transition, we just had to hope that we had enough in place where they would see the way that we did things and they would duplicate it and run with it. And sadly, sometimes things don't always go according to plan.
You sell, that's just part of what comes along when you sell. Absolutely.
And the gym ended up closing 2 years later. I mean, we had already opened our third and final location, but the family that bought it ended up having to close it 2 years later because they were not us. And
right.
I think depending upon the business, to your point, sometimes those businesses are predicated on systems and processes. Other businesses are predicated on systems and processes, but also evoked emotion. And
sure.
In the industry that we were in, we evoked emotion. We created a connection with our audience. We connected with our clients. And that was a bond that was hard to duplicate and replicate with someone else. So I think everyone should have that notion when they are getting into business. You do need to think about what is your exit strategy going to be. And there are two different exit strategies. And one is an exit strategy where you're still a part of it, where people basically grow to scale to then outsource. That's when you hire a CFO, a COO, and a COO that basically is operating the business, and you're basically kind of not taking a back seat, but you're looking at it from a 10,000 foot view. And then there's the other side of exit strategy, which is what you kind of alluded to, where you're growing it to scale it to then sell it. And both routes that you go are completely fine, but everybody needs to do obviously what's best for them and what feels best for them. But most importantly, what's going to be best for yourself, your family, and your future legacy.
I love that. I love that. You know, you've got real stories here. The fact that that strong personal brand doesn't preclude your ability to do an exit. You know, Gary Vaynerchuk could absolutely do an exit and still sell for a ton. You know, Alex Hormozi could do the same thing. Most any, you know, Richard Branson can absolutely sell and do huge exits.
Jonathan, I promise you this, and you brought it up, and it's kind of what came to feeling. Hormozi is in the process of scaling school to sell it. I can
100%.
It's no on the question. Horizon. I would say within the next 12 to 18 months, you're going to see school acquired by someone.
Absolutely. There's no question that's what he's doing in my mind. I mean, obviously, I haven't talked to the man, but there's no question. But what's great is because he's built such a strong personal brand, he can come in and in 24 to 36 months, he can vault them ahead to the point that everybody in the process wins. And that's great for everybody that's on that process.
Yep.
Talk to me a little bit as you can about AI. Obviously, that's my thing. I'm into AI, and I know a lot of people want to leverage that. And by the way, we've not talked prior. And so for the audience that's listening, it's not like this is set up. I don't really know where Scott's going to go with all of this stuff. So this is a good part of a discussion. I love that. But talk to me about, does AI fit into personal branding and at any level?
Absolutely. And I think when it's used the appropriate way. Now, I still feel there are two camps of people out there. There are people that are part of my French, but they're scared of AI, that it's going
yes.
to totally disrupt everything. It's going to ruin business. People are going to be out of jobs, blah, blah, blah. Listen, if that's the narrative that you want to live and go by, so be it, because you're just going to get left behind. The AI generation is here. If you go back 20 years ago, the same thing was being said about social media. Social mm-hmm. media is going to ruin everything. It's going to put people out of jobs. It's going to there's good and there's bad with everything. There's been a lot of Precisely. Good that's happened from social media. There's been a lot of bad that's happened with social media. And I'll say the same thing with AI. In the right hands, it'll do great things. In the wrong hands, it'll do the wrong things. But what I'll say is that if you're in business nowadays, and one of my favorite podcasts, and I'm sure you've listened to it, it's AI Explored. It's from Social Media Examiner.
Yeah, I've actually been Stelzner. On it with Mike. Yeah, he's awesome.
You've been on it?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, mate. Yeah, I got to go check out your episode because I love Stelzner. I love everything that he's bringing to the marketplace. Andy Crestedina, who's a friend of mine, he was recently on there. He was on my podcast before. But it's my wife and I are obsessed with AI because of, I would say, a number of things. I would say the thing that we are most excited about it is the time that it's saving us.
Yes.
The things that we do in our business with our clients and our mastermind, you know, we used to help people, like, again, we still do, but we have, Nancy, my wife, has built her own GPTs where it's now become plug and play for our people where yes. it spits out information in the matter of seconds that used to take weeks and months. I'm just obsessed. And, you know, I'm going to share one of my favorite new toys. Ann Cardin talked about it the other day. It's called napkin.ai.
Oh, isn't it amazing? I love napkin.
Oh my God. For those that don't know what napkin.ai is, it basically, it takes written content. So I use it with my LinkedIn articles and my newsletters. Basically, if you take a long form piece of content, you throw it in a napkin. Napkin will create exact imagery that goes along with the verbiage that you wrote. So with me, I give a lot of bullet points and tips. So basically, if I were to highlight a section where I'm going over three bullet pointed tips about something related to my LinkedIn newsletter, it will then give you all these AI generated visual images that can go along into your LinkedIn article or newsletter or blog. And, you know, ChatGPT, you can try it with that. I've tried it with that. It's not great. It's a little bit wonky.
No, not good.
But napkin, man, like, unbelievable. Now, I'll say the other thing that I love, just to let everybody know, with AI, there's a new AI tool that is being literally birthed every second of every day.
Absolutely.
And you don't need to use all of them. Like, you need,
Thank you.
Like,
Thank
I feel like you need a core toolbox of AI. So my wife and I lean on ChatGPT, Claude, and Perplexity. Those are kind of like our three
Huge
baseline
yep.
AI tools. And right now, Nancy and I are in the process of building basically an AI team, and we're teaching other people how to do the same thing, using Claude as a copywriter, using Perplexity as kind of like your market research arm of your business, using ChatGPT for, you know, repurposing and prompts and topics and ideas, right? Mm-hmm. But I would say above that, right now, video is still like superior when it comes to content right now, especially
absolutely
in talking about LinkedIn. So a lot of short form content. So there's another, I was reached out to by, and I don't always happens. I always get reached out to by early adapters of certain things. So I got reached out to one of the, friends of the founder of Opus.pro, which is a
great
video
tool.
Yeah, video AI tool, unbelievable. Could not recommend anymore. Dirt cheap, like $19 a month, and it's so worth it. And basically, what this AI tool does is if you have like a long form video, say you have a YouTube channel, and you're paying an editor a ton of money to take those videos and to chop them up and to caption it and add B-roll, and you're spending like $2,000 a month, right? You don't have to anymore. You literally
exactly.
could take that YouTube video, you can drop it into Opus, and what Opus does, you give it some prompts, you select the clip length, which optimal right now is 30 to 59 seconds, and what Opus will do is it'll pull anywhere between 8 to 14 different already pre-captioned videos that you can literally schedule right through Opus if you have the paid version to your TikTok, YouTube Shorts, Facebook Reels, Instagram Reels, yes. X, LinkedIn, and you can even add B-roll. There's a whole editing studio. So the whole day and age, I think, Jonathan, of people saying, I don't have enough content. I don't know what to post. I don't. That's gone. Like, there is 100%. So much abundance out there. So if I haven't made it clear, I think you know how much I love AI. And so I always tell people this. You know, you don't have to be overwhelmed by it. Search engines are still your best friend.
Yes.
So you don't have to like go and hire a coach to learn how to use this. Like, just kind of like, all these platforms have free versions, so you can kind of get a taste of it and a feel for it. But just go on YouTube and just search, like, how do I use Perplexity? What's the best way to use ChatGPT? And start just doing your market research. Start learning. Start self-educating. And then you will find your groove and you'll find what is best for you and how you should use it for you and your business.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't agree more. And the tools you mentioned, same exact thing. I love it when I talk to people like yourself that are using AI on a regular basis. And you're like, yeah, there's some fun tools, Napkin being one of them. I love Napkin. But you know what? You can go a long ways without ever having to get Napkin. You can go a long ways without ever having to do these other tools. And if you start with ChatGPT and Perplexity and Claude and know and learn how to use them together, just like you described, then when a tool like Napkin comes in, you go, oh, I know exactly where I can fit that into my workflow. I just recently added Gamma into my workflow. I've been using AI for years, and I just recently added Gamma. Why? Because all of a sudden, I had a need for it, and when it came up, it was obvious we had a need for it. Now I'm like, oh, man, I wish I would have done it earlier. But you know what? It didn't matter that I didn't do it 6 months ago. It didn't hurt. And I love where you stick on that. The basics, I think, make so much sense. I also love that you talked about when it's used properly. In other words, when AI is used properly. That means for those of you building a personal brand, by the way, you can't just download ChatGPT and go write me a blog post that's going to build credibility, because it doesn't know anything about you. It's not going to do it right. It doesn't know your audience, and it's going to be crap. It's plain and simple.
So a cool thing is, in our Expert Authority Mastermind, my wife created basically this template that people fill out, and it's basically their business persona. So it's through Dubsado. They fill it out. It basically has everything about their business name, like, and then it goes identifying their ideal client avatar. So naming the avatar, the pain points, like their favorite, like all that stuff that everyone goes through. And what Nancy figured out is that if you download the output after you fill this out and you input it into ChatGPT, you end up teaching ChatGPT all about you, your business, and your ideal client persona. So then, basically, you can then talk back and forth to ChatGPT and say, listen, I'm looking for some topics on some posts that I want to do. Based on what you know about me and my business and my ideal client persona, what are some topics that would really resonate with them? And then basically, ChatGPT will spit out, here's some ideas. And it'll give you all these different topics, and it'll give you some bullet points. And then you basically go off of that and create more content from it. So the day and age... And I think this is the big thing, and I know you hear this too. I don't know what to post. That phrase is gone. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore, because again, when you can leverage ChatGPT or whatever AI you decide to use the right way,
yes.
Not only are you never gonna run out of content, you're never gonna run out of ideas, but now you have that virtual help that where people used to get so stuck and paralyzed in their business that they would stop their action. And now there's no excuse for it anymore. It's either you use it or you're going to lose it. And I think the more that you stay on top of what's going on in the marketing, branding, and business world as a whole, the more you're going to be primed and ready for all the new things that are going to be coming on down the pike, which there's going to be new things all the time. But the more on top of it you are, the more ready you're going to be for it.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I think we're 2025. I think for the people that are in AI overwhelm now, I think, you know, it's more important than ever to go back to basics, because we need to remember that the amount of money that's flowing into AI right now and the number of competitors that are coming up, If you're not seeing an announcement from every major player almost every week, the investment dollars are not going to follow, because the investors want to see that their whatever horse they're betting on is winning in that race, or at least in the race. So we are going to go in. I'm convinced 2025 is, and it's already been this way, but it's going to continue to be a news cycle on the AI world that's just going to get faster and faster and faster. And so it's even more important than ever to go, okay, look, I'm going to stick with the major players, and I'll trust that if something's really important that I'm working with Scott, or I'm working with Jonathan, or I'm working with Nancy, they'll let me know when I need to worry about it. I won't have to search it out, and I don't have to worry that, you know, I'm going to get the latest and greatest tool before everybody else does, because if you're 2 weeks late to the game, it's not going to hurt. What may hurt you is the amount of time that you waste trying to be on the bleeding edge, and as a result, you're playing and not getting any work done. And, you know, like you said, content ideation and those type of things, there is, I know I'm bouncing around, but there's zero excuse nowadays for any business owner to say, I don't know what to post, because ChatGPT can tell you what your audience is thinking. I can say, look, I sell coaching services to people that want to learn about AI prompts, and I need 10 questions that they're asking. And oh, by the way, based on what you know about me, like you've said that Nancy does, I have my tone, my style, all that's uploaded. Write me 10 social media posts that I can post for that. And 30 seconds later, they're there with now just me to edit, and I can generally edit them by changing one or two words.
And I just want to kind of applaud you for a second, and I think the audience needs to understand that, you know, you're giving back to your community by having a podcast like this. And I think that's the important thing to understand, is that, you know, I have a podcast, Jonathan has a podcast. You know, we don't have to have our podcast. Like, we could literally just be sitting behind our desk and kind of going about our business and doing this, that. But we're so enthralled and passionate about what we believe in regards to business, that we have to regurgitate that information and share it. And we want more people to be understanding and knowledgeable. So you got to think about whether you're investing with someone or not. Everybody is looking for shortcuts in the right way. And my wife always talks about, it's either going to cost you a lot of time or a lot of money. And you got to choose what it's going to be, right?
Yes.
And I think even if you're listening to a free podcast, that's still, you're spending the time, right? And you have the message that you have with your podcast. I have the message with my podcast the way that I do, because we want to help people, not make the mistakes that we did, right? We want people to learn now so they can take action right away. And I think that's the big thing about the world of marketing and branding right now. I think, yes, a lot of people have been burned, and there's no preconceived expectations here. Like, there's nothing, there's no sales pitch. This is just information where we want to take people from point A to point B, and trimming all the fat in between so people can get to where they need to be faster and in a much easier fashion. And again, you know, why your podcast still exists, why my podcast still exists, is because we love what we talk about. I think that's what people need to understand. All the podcasts that had pod fade and they crashed and burned. Do you know why they crashed and burned? Because the person really didn't like what they were talking about. And the fact is that I'm never going to stop talking about LinkedIn. You're never going to stop talking about AI. And that's why the podcasts are going to continue to live on. Information is going to continue to be shared. And even someone like me, you know, where people say, well, you're a LinkedIn guy, what do you know about AI? Well, I also know about marketing, branding, and social media. And you know what goes into marketing, branding, and social media? AI. They go hand in hand. It is part of the recipe. You leave one ingredient out, the cake is not going to taste right.
So well said. Man, Scott, I love it. And passion is it. And here's the side benefit to everybody that's watching. We're passionate about what we're doing, but it also builds our brand. It's such an easy way to create content. I get to reach out and go, Scott, let's talk about LinkedIn. Let's talk about branding. Let's talk about AI. We sit down. We talk for 30 minutes. We deliver massive value. It helps your brand. It helps my brand. Everybody wins in the process. And that, to me, is what's so cool about it.
100%.
Well, Scott, as we bring this plane in for landing, I love to ask everybody, what advice would you give to that business owner who's like, okay, I get it. 2025, I've got to do more than just have ChatGPT on my computer and use it once a week. I want my teams to start using it. I want to start getting it through my company. What advice would you give to that business owner or that leader? How should they be integrating AI into what they and their teams are doing? Any advice?
Yeah, I would say what Nancy and I have done, and this is exactly what we did. So Nancy and I always have a weekly meeting. She meets with her team, but we meet once a month with our COO. And we follow something called the traffic light methodology. Mm-hmm. So green, what's working well. Yellow, what we need to slow down on. Red, what do we need to just stop altogether? And one of the things that this has allowed us to do is to really take a look at the kinks in the hose, the things that are not allowing the right KPIs kind of take shape the way that we want them to, the key performance indicators, whether it's email open rate, whether it's visibility, whether it's website traffic, whatever it is. And if we can somehow correlate that to bring this notion or this aspect to the team where maybe they need to spend some time, you know, with content creation, because that's one of the big things that a lot of business owners and companies struggle with, is that having
Absolutely.
Someone kind of take their content and get it out there. And, you know, my wife and I, we started a new YouTube channel, Instagram, and basically we created a workflow within, and our team knows now, because Nancy created trainings, and I think this is also very important, she created trainings for our team. So she would shoot a bunch of Loom videos, like how she's using ChatGPT for this, how she's using Claude for this, how she's using Opus for this. And basically she shoots the video, does the training, and then drops it to the team. And then the necessary person who is in control of that aspect of the business goes in, learns it, and then starts applying it. So you have to train people to use things the way that you want them to use them. So now when Nancy and I are doing our podcast, we shoot the video, she drops it into our shared Google Drive with our team, and now they know exactly what to do with it. So I think it's identifying exactly what needs to get done, what can be outsourced, but more importantly, teaching your team the way that it needs to get done so you don't have to worry about it anymore. And I think that's the big thing. Everyone has a different strategy and methodology, and every business obviously has different needs, but really take that 10,000 foot view of what's in place, what's not in place, and what needs to get put in place, and then make sure you focus on the things that need to get put in place. Create structure, create routines, create systems, but most importantly, delegate them out to the right people.
Wow. Just fantastic advice, Scott. Fantastic advice across the board. Love everything you shared there. Scott, if people want to reach out to you, they want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to connect with you, Scott?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Scott Aaron on LinkedIn. You can connect with me there. Two different websites. So my personal website for my LinkedIn coaching and consulting is scottaaron.net. To learn more about my wife and I and what we're doing, you can go to thetimetogrow.com and you can learn all about us there. And I would be happy to connect.
Awesome. Well, Scott, I want to thank you for joining us today. We'll add those links down in the comments for everybody. I have a feeling we could talk for a lot longer, but I know you have another interview coming up, as do I. We may have to do a revisit on this, though, because I love your perspective, and I love how you're applying it directly into things that are benefiting your customers through that. So, Scott, thank you again for your time. I'm truly grateful for that. That's amazing.
Thanks,
and for
Jonathan,
our audience that's listening or watching, we really appreciate you. We value you so much. We'd love it if you'd give us a thumbs up if you like us. And, of course, we'd always appreciate your subscriptions and feedback. With that, everyone, make it an incredible day, and we'll talk to you on the other side. Bye, everyone.